Welcome to Voices of
Love
Freedom.
Talk Radio.
It's always great to be on here with you. Always great to have an opportunity to praise Jesus' name and talk to him a little bit and just to figure this thing out. And you say, figure this thing out, what do you mean? And it's like this morning I was sitting and I thought, you know, do you ever think about how many times God has used prostitutes and how many times he's used murderers and how many times he's used the weakest to accomplish his will? And I just thought, boy, I'm going to put that on the headline of this program this morning, and many people are going to get all fired up. And they're going to wonder what in the world's going on, and they're going to be fired up. And, you know, Lunsford's a maniac, and what's he talking about? God using murderers and Christians. But here's the deal. If you don't have time to listen to the things I was going to mention this morning, know this. These people see a need for a Savior. They see a need to reach out to Jesus Christ. These people that go through life and they never feel like they have a need for anything, or maybe we spoil our kids and they grow up thinking, you know, there's no moralistic whatever, there's no work for what you get kind of thing. I mean, we've got a whole lot of society, you know, kind of moving that way now, that everything's free and that there's no hard work and, you know, and all that is the world's game. But at the end of the day, in order for you and me to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got to come to a position where we start to look at ourselves, and then we get a glimpse of Jesus, and then we look at ourselves and we see, wow, this is not really the way that it should be. You know what I'm saying? This is not, I can't live forever like this. And you say, what do you mean live forever? I'm just trying to get out of this world. Excuse me. But the idea is not to try to get out of this world. The idea is to try to have eternal life. Wouldn't you agree with that? If there would be a question that had three answers, and the question is, do you want to live just as long as you live on this earth, or do you want to live for eternity, or do you want to live in hell? What would you choose? You know, the obvious choice is we want to be in heaven. Everybody will tell you, and the movies will tell you that everybody's going to be in heaven. Well, where they're deriving all that from, the icing on the cake part of that is coming out of the Bible. The problem with that is that's not what the Bible says. And, there's been a lot of fake news about the Bible and preaching for thousands of years because it suits the devil. But at the end of the day, what you and I've got to realize is the Bible's the truth. God keeps his word together, and that is a very big thing, because if he wasn't God, this Bible would have been destroyed a long time ago. I mean, they've tried it. Now, today what they do is they put their own names on it, or, you know, they change the translation, or they say the Jim Smith Bible, or whatever, you know, people might come up with, but it's all a plan by the devil to dilute the real reason and the real cause for us being here, which is being created in the likeness and image of God. God made us that way in order to fellowship with us and have an eternal relationship with us. Now, with Adam and Eve, when he puts them in the garden, what does he get? Well, he knew what they were going to do way before they did it. But the intention of God with Adam and Eve was to have them reproduce and to have fellowship with them and their children, and just to go forward forever and ever. Because Adam and Eve were not built to ever die, right? Now, what happens when they sin? Well, there's a death, right? And you say, well, they didn't die physically. No, they didn't die physically, but spiritually, where it's all at, because the spirit is going to live forever. So when I spiritually die, when God pulls away from me because I've sinned, which every one of us were born with a sin nature, but Adam and Eve weren't. But when they sin, God pulls away from them. God curses the earth. God gives them a couple things to go through. The woman has birth pain to go through. The man has a bruised heel and has to get out and start working the land, whereas before, I don't think that it had the weeds and the craziness out there. I believe it was more of a cosmetic work that a man did before the sin. So when you get out here and you say, why do I have to work like a borrowed mule? Why do I have to do what I have to do? Well, the reason that you do it and the reason that it's set up that way is because of sin. Because you're just as guilty as I'm as guilty, as Adam and Eve were as guilty, as every person ever born has been guilty. So, once again, when their eyes were open and the sin comes on the scene, they realize they're naked. Now, all of a sudden, you and I get a visual of a naked person. Well, I believe with them it was a little bit more like, wow, I do kind of see some things that I didn't see before. And one of the things I see is I'm kind of ashamed of myself and my actions and the things that I do. See, there was the old-time conviction there 100 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, when people would realize, hey, I've made a mistake, they'd own up to the mistake, they'd ask for forgiveness, and they'd move forward. Well, see, if you don't ever see a need for Jesus, you're never going to ask Jesus for forgiveness. You're never going to move forward with Jesus back in your life because you don't feel like you have a need for Jesus. And sometimes people will try to live through other Christians or watch what other churches are doing or watch what other people, and they will be saying, wow, you know, I don't think I need to be doing what that person's doing. Now, if that person is a preacher, if old Lunsford's a preacher, I ain't interested. Well, you better really be careful on that, because if you let old Lunsford determine whether you go to hell or not, that's going to be on you. Because this Bible, the King James Study Bible with doctrinal footnotes, can lead you all the way through this Bible and help you understand every part that's necessary for you to get saved. Because if you'll receive Jesus today, you can be saved. You can start a new life in Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, I still got the same job and the same problems at work and the same home and living in the same community and my kids are still doing this, that, and the other, and I still got all these problems. Yes, you do. You still have every single thing that you had, but you've added one other very important thing. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Now, let's take a look at some people here in the Bible. Murderers. Moses murdered an Egyptian. The sentence, of course, would have been death, so Moses flees. So when God is looking for somebody, who's he picking out? Listen, he's not picking out the proud and those on top of the world. And, you know, he's picking out the guy that kind of understands where he's been. You think Moses didn't know what he had done? You think it didn't bother Moses' conscience? You think he didn't second guess himself? Then if you look over there in Exodus, you're going to find something else. So he does come to Moses. Well, Moses' life had gotten a little bit easier. Moses had put kind of what he was on the back burner. You know, he was a murderer. But what did God do? God said, here's what I want you to do. And Moses starts making every excuse in the world. But what does Moses become after he starts walking with God? See, he's nothing before he starts walking with God. He's just another person out here. But when he starts walking with Jesus Christ, look what happens. It's not very long before he gets really bold. And it's not very long before he's out in the wilderness with these stiff-necked people that will not listen to God's commands. They are disobedient. And Moses is saying, Lord, lay their sin on my account. Man, that guy's come a long way from the guy who said, hey, I'm living the easy life out here watching the sheep. I got a 2-car garage and, you know, good-looking home going on here. I'm not interested in going back and getting in the middle of 2 million Jewish people trying to get out of a place called Egypt, right? But God knew his heart. He foreknew, that's a word I'm going to start using a lot. God knew exactly where Moses would be in 50 and 100 and 200 and 500 years later. We got to start understanding God knows that same thing about us. I tell you, that's given me a peace probably in the last month since Rick Crowe preached that message that I have never had in my life. It doesn't really matter about the world and how the world is keeping track of things. What matters at the end of the day in all of the things that are going on out here is Jesus Christ first in your life? Because if Jesus is first, if you'll put Jesus out there first, what I saw him do in my life was put a lot of the things back into my life that I thought might have to go. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't about giving up everything. It wasn't about I can't have fun. It wasn't about where I went, what I did so much as it was about who is leading my life. Who's in control? Who do I pray to? Who do I ask for help when I'm in trouble? Who do I praise when something good has happened? Who do I praise when something bad's happened? Now, that's one as Christians struggle with. But what does that mean? It means God is not going to sit here and rain down all the blessings in the world on me right now because I live in a sin-cursed world. And because of the sin of the overall, what would you say, the whole body of work, which is the population of the whole world, there's some sin that's going to happen to me that is going to happen to me because I'm living in the wrong world. But there's a new heaven and a new earth, and I'm going to live in that place, and it's going to be a fantastic place. You get me? That's what's so beautiful about all these different things. Now, what are we going to do about it? How do we handle this situation? Well, we've got to start looking at ourselves for what we are. And it says in the Bible, the best we could be is filthy rags. Now, I'll let you go any way your mind wants to go on this. But I like to think of a mechanic in a shop at the end of the day. You ever see what those rags look like? With the grease and the mud and the dirt and the whatever and the sweat all mixed in there together. Now, you can go a million different ways and they'll research it out and tell you what they found it to mean. And all that's good, too. But I'm telling you, in the eyes of the most perfect and the only God in the universe, we are pitiful. It tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there are none good, no, not one. So at the end of the day, in all of this crazy that's going on out there, in everything that's wrong, God is still in control. God still has a plan. God still wants you. God still wants to pull you through the problems that you're in. So God will use a murderer, and you say, boy, this next one always gets people. God uses prostitutes. Ooh, man, people love that one because people look at a prostitute and they think the most filthy, vile, you know, disease-infested creature in the world. Well, guess what? Just about every single one of us have been some kind of a prostitute for something. Some of us are a prostitute at our job. If we've got a boss and we think we can get a little bit of extra income or we can get ahead of the others in the typing pool, we will do just about anything the boss tells us to do in order to get that kudo from the boss. That's prostitution, people. When I do something for money, that's prostitution. Now, we got them. We want to call them crack whores. You know what I'm saying? We want to say, we want to look at that, get that filthy visual of just how skanky, whatever, terrible, you know, that a person could be. But guess what? They are coming to realization. I guarantee nobody woke up at the high school graduation and said, come see me at my new job tomorrow. I'm going to be the town prostitute. Listen, people have tried a lot of things before they get down to the prostitution level. But what can God do with somebody at the prostitution level? He can save them. Because I guarantee you, if you start talking to a bunch of prostitutes, they're going to tell you that they see that they have a need. Now, the materialistic prostitute that we live with, if we're middle-class people and, you know, whatever, we go around and we prostitute ourselves out for a position or we make promises we can't cover to try to do, you know, get money, and whatever that kind of prostitution is, listen, you're in a desperate situation. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. Somebody's going to tell on you. Somebody's going to expose you for the fraud that you are because it's what people do. The devil loves you to make a deal about something that he can bring back on you someday. He can't wait for you to say, I promise I'll never do this. Well, I guarantee you'll never see me down here in the food line. Well, I guarantee you'll never see this. man, you are just dooming yourself. And you say, well, why does God let that happen? God doesn't let that happen. The sin entered into the world because the serpent beguiled Eve, right? So when the trouble comes, don't blame God. He didn't want it. But what has he done? Well, God made a way. And what's the way? Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus, it says in John 14. So what does it mean? It means that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It doesn't say that there's a lot of other ways to heaven. If you want to take Jesus, here's the way. If you want to believe, I used to have a basic thought before I was saved that maybe the Buddhist people got to their heaven, and maybe the Hindu got to his heaven, and maybe the Jewish man got to his heaven, and maybe the Christian got to his heaven. But when I read the Bible, and I read about the promises of God, and I read where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I read that the only place I hear about heaven is in the Bible. I've got to do this thing God's way, or I am not going to make it. I've got to get into a position where at the end of the day, we take a good, strong look around, and we see we have a need. I guarantee you today, if your dishwasher went out at the house, you'd be going to town and getting you a dishwasher because you would have a need for a dishwasher. If you eat all the food that is in your refrigerator, you will go to the store at the end of the week and buy more food because you see a need to put some food in the fridge. You see, there's a need. We have needs in this world. There is a need for you and me to belong to something. Just part of it. That's why you get these school shootings. That's why you get all these other things, is because when 8 or 10 get together and push one out, or they're not inclusive of somebody that doesn't look like them, you get this. So it is so ironic to me that all these students are protesting when they've created the problem because they haven't included the people, the students that end up doing the shooting. That's the devil at work. People want to take your gun. That's the devil at work, right? People want to kill babies. Man, oh man, that's the devil at work. You know, why do we have such sin in the world? Because it's been growing like crazy for almost 6,000 years. Sin is running rampant. It's getting terrible. It's getting worse every day. You have a way out of this thing. You are the only one that's got a way out of this thing. Because you're listening to this, you're learning not to believe in Brooke Lunsford, but to pick up that Bible and read John chapter 1, verse 1, starting in the Gospels, and read through 4 or 5 chapters of that and see that you must be born again. And you say, well, what in the world? How's that possible? Well, I understand, because you're not the first person that has ever asked that question. Nicodemus in chapter 3 there, you'll run across him. He asked that question. Why did he ask it? Because Jesus knew millions would ask the question, how do I be born again? Well, the way that you be born again is you believe in Jesus Christ. You ask him to forgive you of your sins. You surrender yourself and realize your weakness and say, Lord, take over my life. Lord, you run this thing. That's my prayer. That's what my prayer pretty much was. Lord, I've run this thing in the ground. My life is a pure disaster. You know what I'm saying? My life is, you might kill me any second, Lord, because I deserve it. And that's the other thing. We got this thing going of why does God do this to me? Why did he let this happen? I don't deserve this. When the truth is, every single one of us, according to Romans 6:23, every one of us deserve death. Man, that's a bad situation, isn't it? Every single one of us deserved death. At the end of the day, man, oh man. At the end of the day, what's going to happen? Every single one of us deserved death. If you don't surrender, you don't realize your weakness, you don't realize you're a prostitute to the world, you don't realize you're basically murdering Jesus every single day because People are dependent on you because Jesus wants you to get saved, to go to your family and your friends and your coworkers and your community and tell him what he has done. Tell them what he's done for you. That's the whole scope of this thing. That's the missing ingredient. And guess what? A lot of us Christians are missing that same thing. We know to go tell other people to get saved. But guess what? Other people aren't going. See where we're going with that? Other people aren't going and inviting people to church. Other people aren't going out and visiting like they used to. Other people aren't going and saying, look, I got a hold of something, and it has changed my life, and it's Jesus Christ. And he sent me over here to tell you he wants to change your life. That's why this radio broadcast is so important to me. I hope and pray that every person gets saved. I hope everybody gets saved, everybody, everywhere. And that Facebook says I've got 2,500 friends. Man, oh man, you need to like this. You need to share this because you share in the ministry. You're not giving me anything. You're not giving me anything special. You're not promoting me up to some big shot. Listen, this is trying to help people understand that when they realize their weakness, when they realize their need, when they realize they need to move back toward Jesus, now we can do something with these folks. Isn't that a beautiful situation? Because in all the world here before, all the sin, all the aggravation, nothing's gone right. One trouble after another in life, at the end of the day, Jesus still wants the best thing for you. And no matter how messed up your life is, no matter if you never get anything on this earth, if they never call your name, you never make the front page of the newspaper, you will be in heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. There's no higher place than to realize you're a son of God, that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and your father and your brother, Jesus, own it all. Listen, I'm campaigning, and it's already making me sick, the politics that are being played. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, I don't care. I'm not playing the political games. I'm not, you know, whatever people want to do. But at the end of the day, if I get out there and mention Jesus one time, and somebody comes up to me in heaven one day and says, I'd never heard Jesus mentioned at a political rally, I started to think about Jesus and I got saved, it's worth it all. And you say, well, what do you mean? I mean, even if you lost the election, this election ain't nothing. This election has no hold on me. This election means nothing to Jesus. But he does have a plan for me to get his word out there in a way that's not given out very much, these political places. Oh, you're just grandstanding. You're just, no, I'm doing what I was told to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which was to go out and preach the word. Because people don't come to church like they used to. So if I go out and I show people that I can go out and tell people outside the church walls about Jesus, they will get saved. You say, well, how do you know? I said, well, I did it in school one time, and four kids got saved and baptized over it that I know of. I gave them a Bible. In the back of the Bible was the plan of salvation. On the plan of salvation, the kids started reading their Bible and studying, and all these other things were going on. Well, guess what? The next thing you know, a couple of them signed the back of that Bible, or you know, where it said, do you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? There's a public testament that those kids accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, did it go any further? Yeah, because those two sisters or two first cousins called me and said, hey, we shared this with our sisters and they got saved. So now four of us are saved. Will you come and see us be baptized? Absolutely. See, it's God will get your attention, number one. But the second thing is you and I have to be used by God, and God needs more people. It says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What in the world does that mean? It means there's plenty of people who would like to meet Jesus Christ. There's plenty of people that realize they're murderers and they're weak and that they're prostitutes and that they need a touch from Jesus. But Jesus is using you and me to go. Man, oh man. Jesus is using you and me to go. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I can't. Well, I just don't know enough about the Bible. Well, I just don't know this, and I don't know that. He didn't ask you to be a Bible scholar to go witness about Jesus. He said, you go tell them what I've done for you. Look it up in the Gospels. Have a great day.